أبنكم متيكم ما أطك يوم ننتيكم فنجي أبن كاغكم سوالين صدق راوند بنكم متيكم ما أطك يوم ننتيكم فنجي أبن كاغكم سوالين صدق راوند جيني ميكن ديت
Well, folche, agus tapale versen sheen. Is Misha Rikun Allen de Skull Garlic Valley in Taivor. Agus Hamian Show Kuchuri, Skop Makilivora, agus Liam Makasaji. Bishina Bruin and Jew, Erit in Takashis Galaxian, Rish and Kanamort. Welcome and thank you for coming. I'm Rick Winallen with the Gaelic School of Baltimore, and I'm here with Scott Morrison and Liam Cassidy. We'll be talking today about that Gaelic event that is called a Maud, and as usual, we are broadcasting on unceded land of the Piscataway and Susquehannock people. Scott and Liam are also part of Skull Gaelic Valley and Tyvor, and Liam wears a couple of additional hats. He's also representing Gaelic Potomac, a Gaelic learning community in Northern Virginia, and the American Scottish Gaelic Society.
Let's kind of start the conversation right now about the two of you, just kind of explaining what a Maud is. You've both been involved in them for a lot of years. Just, you know, tell us what a Maud is, and then maybe how the first one in North America got started.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I don't know, Scott, if what your initial exposure was. Mine was with what was called Maud Virginia, which became the U.S. National Maud back in about 1991 or so. 1989. It was the second Maud held by ACGA, and it was held at the Virginia Scottish Games, which back then took place in Alexandria. And I should say before we go further, a Maud means it's a Gaelic song and music competition. Initially, the word meant a court, you know, such as a court that a chieftain might have for arguing cases, people bringing cases before of law before the chief or before the brehevin, the judges. But it's come to mean, you know, since the 19th century, more specifically, a song competition. And the first one was held in 1892 in Scotland, and that was the foundation of An Cumann Gaeloch in Scotland. It was formed specifically to create this national maud in Scotland, and it was held in Aupin in the West Highlands in 1892. So the first one here, well, it's hard to say when the first one here was, but ACGA's first maud, An Cumann Gaeloch an Medacai, its first maud was in 1988. So that was at the Virginia Scottish Games. I went to the second, and it's continued on through a very long history. I'm going to let you talk a bit, Scott, about your first impressions. My first impression, I'll just say, I heard about this. I heard it was a Gaelic song competition. I had no idea what to expect. I went down and I met people like Katrina Parsons, who was the adjudicator, Donald MacDonald, who was one of the founders and co-organizers, Jamie MacDonald, who is an ACGA director now, who helped at that time found this, Joan Weiss. There's a whole group of people who were really interested in this, and it was all brand new to me and very interesting. So with that, I will turn it over to you, Scott.
Before I launch into my half, wasn't Kenny Campbell part of that also? He was like one of the original founders of ACGA, if I'm remembering right. Was he there at that initial maud that you went to, or that second year maud?
I don't remember if he was at the second maud. He very well may have been. He wasn't involved with the committee that ran it, though he was involved for quite a while with ACGA itself. You're right.
Yeah, I think it like met at his house. In Bethesda or something like that?
Yeah, ACGA actually in its origin had a number of native Gaelic speakers from Scotland who were involved, and he was one of them.
So I honestly can't remember exactly which year my first maud was, but I'm going to guess it was around 05 or 06. It had already been established in Ligonier, Pennsylvania by then, and ACGA was renting out the Antiochian village up there, run by the Antiochian Eastern Orthodox Church. They had a huge facility with all kinds of dormitory rooms and several big open meeting spaces where we could meet and have Kaylee's and for the quieter end of things when we were doing the storytelling competition and the poetry recitation portion of the competitions, we did those in those rooms in the Antiochian village. And then the singing competitions were held at the games, at the Ligonier Highland Games, about 5 minutes away in Pennsylvania on the fairgrounds. And that was the outdoor portion of the event. And that was all day on Saturday. So, I started coming with my kids my two oldest kids, when they were still very young. They still talk about it, by the way, to this very day. And they're really upset that it's no longer happening up there because they wanted to go back and experience it again. Yeah, I know it's all online now, but that was like the third or fourth year, I think, I started studying the language, or maybe even the second year. And it was an instrumental part in bringing me into communion with the greater Gaelic-speaking community, and at least in the Northeast region of the United States, in person, because I was basically doing private lessons either over the telephone or with Nick Freer, who was often involved in those days of the mod. I think he was even the host for the guests that would come over from Scotland, if I'm remembering right, or at least he set that up. I forget exactly what his responsibilities entailed, but he was usually deeply involved in that. And it allowed me to meet people from Scotland who are native speakers and or more advanced learners. It allowed me to meet other students of the language, participate in the Kaylee's afterwards, and since I was a musician, that was very appealing. And it was just even though it was a tad bit expensive because you had to spend the whole weekend up there, it was, in my opinion, well worth it, because it was good exposure and a good chance to practice and to meet other people and receive feedback from other people besides just your particular instructor or your group of instructors or people that you're familiar with, and get a chance to just use your Gaelic in a kind of a different kind of setting.
Yeah, right. You know, it's interesting because when this was started, when the event that took place in Virginia and later Ligonier was started, that's the what we now call the ACGA U.S. National Mall. So it was meant to be a national event. When it began in Virginia, you know, maybe you had three or four competitors. I remember it was held in Fort Ward Park at one point in Alexandria, and there were three of us sitting on hay bales.
That was the mom. Well,
Christina Parsons, who was our adjudicator, who's from the Isle of Lewis and has been involved with mods in Scotland and in Canada and the U.S. for decades, you know, she adjudicated, you know, and it got bigger as the years went on, as it moved to Ligonier. But when it was first started out, Jamie McDonald was one of the founders, and he proposed the idea of the mod to ACGA's board at the time. And he told me that the response he got was, when he said, "I think we should have a mod," was, "Well, what's a mod?" Because none of the people on the ACGA's board in North America really knew about it. It's well known in Scotland. It's a huge event in Scotland. As I mentioned earlier, it was founded in 1892. It draws in thousands of people wherever it's held, and they have 5 days of competitions. It is not just song. It's song, it's choir, it's music like piping and fiddling. And so it's a huge cultural event. So it's never been that big in North America, but there have been mods in North America almost since the time the mod was founded in Scotland. There was one in New York. I think there were actually two in New York in the 1890s. There were mods in Ontario, in Toronto, in Ottawa. There was a mod in Nova Scotia at one time, which I believe Katrina Parsons was also involved in. I think Vancouver may have had one. There was a big Gaelic speaking community in Vancouver at one time. So the idea that, you know, as people moved throughout North America of Gaelic speakers, especially people coming over recently from Scotland, they were aware of the idea of the Maud, and they wanted to get together and sing Gaelic songs, promote Gaelic song and culture and language, and this was a way to do it. But when the U.S. National Maud was founded in 1988, there really wasn't much else going on. There was a Maud in Toronto, and we actually had one of the bards who was celebrated there. He was a poet from and a songmaker from Cape Breton, Archie Alex McKenzie. He came down in 1991 to the Washington, D.C. area, took part in Maud, Virginia, after having been at Maud, Toronto, and having been lauded there for his own work in the Gaelic language and on songs. So, there was a sense that I think people in ACGA knew about this. They knew about the group in Toronto. They knew about the Maud in Scotland and maybe the Maud in Nova Scotia. And it was all about building links. And, you know, I should say that that Maud is still with us. It's now held online only since COVID. We no longer go to Ligonier, but having it online has been advantageous in a lot of ways. And this year we'll have it, I believe it's November 11th and 12th, a Saturday and Sunday. And it is, I think it's probably the 35th Maud, I think. We did miss a couple of years here and there, but so that is still going on. For a long time, that was the only Maud in the U.S. And then we had a couple of other regional events evolve. The Grandfather Mountain Highland Games Gaelic Maud, and the Maud Nanalochan Mora, which ran for several years. That's the Great Lakes Maud in Ohio. The Great Lakes Maud, unfortunately, hasn't been held in several years, but the Grandfather Mountain Highland Games Maud, which is usually attached to the Grandfather Mountain Gaelic Song and Language Week that ACGA runs, that's been held, and that was just held recently. But what surprises me is that there's been a great deal of interest this year alone in Mauds and in Gaelic song erupting, it seems, on the scene. And we have new Mauds forming and taking place. The first one was in New York City, the New York City Tartan Week Gaelic Maud, which was held in April during Tartan Week. That had, I believe, 10 competitors. I was one of two adjudicators, as well as song language workshops the day before. So that was a big deal. It was the first Maud in New York City since the 1890s. The second was a Maud held in Kentucky called the Kentucky Commonwealth Maud that one of your teachers, Adam Dahmer, organized. And Adam, I mean, of course, a teacher at Scoil Gaelic Fhailean Taobh, or the Baltimore Gaelic School. Adam is also a director at ACGA on our board of directors. But he organized a Gaelic weekend in Glasgow, Kentucky, and had a Maud as part of it. And then we have a new Maud coming up in August in Laurel, Maryland, which we are all involved with, the Maud Chesapeake, which kind of covers the Baltimore to Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia region, Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. So there's a lot of interest in Gaelic song, and more people are getting active in creating these smaller events, which I think is a great thing.
So, Liam, what do you think caused this explosion this year? You know, to have these new ones forming, and what kind of prompted all that?
You know, sometimes it only takes one event to start a chain reaction. And I do think the New York City Tartan Week Maud started a chain reaction in a way. I mean, I went up to that Maud and was invited to be a judge, an adjudicator. And, you know, it was a great deal of fun. The people were extremely enthusiastic. I really didn't know what to expect because I only heard about this about 2 months before it happened. But it came together. BBC Scotland was involved. Joy Dunlop who's a Gaelic singer. She's the presenter for the Speak Gaelic program in Scotland, as well as a well-known recording artist. I mean, she was over as the hostess, or the, you know, they did a program for BBC Alapa, the Gaelic language station. So there was a lot of interest. You had a good number of people coming in. It was part of a bigger event too, which probably helped. But that got me thinking about Maud Chesapeake and contacting you and Scott, Rick, about doing a Maud in our area. Adam heard about it and said, why are these Mauds taking places in big cities like New York and Baltimore? And, you know, why can't we have one in Kentucky, in a rural, in a smaller, you know, community? So there's no reason why you can't. And he went ahead and did it. So I think that that's part of it. I think that in general, you know, Gaelic song has been really popular for quite a while, you know, for a generation at least in North America. There's been a lot of interest in Gaelic music and Gaelic song from, you know, I started out listening to Christine Primrose and Catherine Ann McPhee. You know, later on, you have Julie Fowlis coming along. She's got a huge following. And there are just a lot of people who have made a big impression on the folk scene, I think, and also the Highland Games scene in North America. And I think that is also helping to, you know, increase awareness and maybe encourage more people to say, hey, I'd like to learn some of these songs myself.
So I want to ask a different question, because Scott, you brought up at some point about when you went to your first Maud, it was, you talked as much about the way of connecting to other people as you did the songs themselves or anything like that. And I think that it seems like, you know, here where we are learning Gaelic and so forth, one of the things you lack are places that you can go out, meet. It's not like you're going to go down to the pub at night and be able to speak Gaelic and run into your Gaelic speaking friends. You're not going to go to the grocery store and run into them while they shop or anything like that. So there's this need for connecting, you know, with people and using your Gaelic in different places. So it seems like you mentioned that right away from yours. Is that, how's that fit? Is that like part of the strategy around Mauds, you think? This is kind of a question for both of you. If this continues, if this trend continues, and you have these local Mauds and they become established, you know, as annual events, you know, maybe some of those people take part in the national Maud after that. Maybe they go to each other's Mauds, meet other people in different places. Is that you see that as a conscious part of the strategy in trying to motivate these Mauds to continue?
Yeah, so let me answer that in two parts, and then I'll pass it off to Liam, and he can chuck in his two cents on this also. But the first part would be a definite yes. I mean, it's part of our own school's foundational outreach program to provide as many opportunities for our students to use their Gaelic or their Gaelic as often as they can. So this is yet another way to create some more sense of community amongst all the learners and the teachers. And just anybody who's involved in the school and who has a greater and broader interest in Scottish Gaelic culture in general. So it's hand in hand with what we are trying to accomplish at Scoil Gaelic Valentine Vóir. So yes, it's definitely that. That's also built, hardwired into the original intent for the Maud, even over in Scotland. And we should point out, this also happens in other Celtic countries as well, in various different forms. I think the Scottish Maud is modeled after something that happened in Wales. I want to say the Eisteddfod. I know I'm pronouncing that wrong.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. It came out of the Welsh Eisteddfod. Yeah.
It's all supposed to be like another reason, another to gather culturally and to express our self-identity as Gaelic speakers, right? Now, the other part of this answer is I'm going to throw kind of into the future and what I would like to see happen with all of this. So there's a separate movement over in Scotland called the Fation, which is an organization or a circuit. Young learners of traditional Scottish music can participate in, and they can kind of flit from city to city and place to place and participate in these competitions, sort of as like a breeding ground, not only to generate more more traditional musicians and to elevate the genre in its, of itself. But also they, I think there's one final big fashion where they have like, or big fish, I should say, where they have the national competitions. And that's almost like the mod itself is like a springboard for a professional culture or a professional career in Scottish traditional music. So what I would like to see happen here is all these little individual mods kind of that are popping up to become an interconnected kind of network over time with more added in, where people can like cut their teeth in the competition and then ultimately go to participate in the national mod, whether that's online or live, that doesn't matter. But, and then that becomes not only kind of like a culmination point or like a goal for the participants, but also it could be a really good preparation and springboard to go over and abroad over to Scotland and participate in their national mod, because it is open to foreigners. The only prerequisites is you have to prove that you have competent Gaelic skill in order to compete. And although I've never done it myself, I've heard lots of stories from Liam and from other former teachers I've had about the steps and the hoops they have to jump through in order to compete. But it's not, even though it's rare, it's not unheard of for someone outside of Scotland to win some prizes at the Scottish National Mod.
I think it's become more common. I mean, I competed in 2020 when the entire Scottish Mod, the Royal National Mod, was online. They actually won the storytelling competition. The way they did the competition that year is similar to the way that ACGA now does its competitions. Rather than awarding a first place, second place, third place, people were given rankings such as Sonrichtje, which means exceptional, or Erlema, you know, very good, or outstanding, Rimowog, to be praised. So you had, you weren't competing necessarily for a first, second, or third place slot. You're competing against yourself in a way to get the best ranking you can. And you could have a competition with five people and four of them are Erlema or Sonrichtje. So they're an equal space rather than, you know, having one, two, three, you know, in that kind of fashion. And that kind of takes some of the, you know, the angst of a competition out of it, which I personally think is a good thing.
Yes, and that's the format we're adopting for Mod Chesapeake. But going back to the idea of it being a circuit, that also provides more impetus for people to, like, get into it more, even if there's less participants, because if they know they can, like, go to other places, it gives the whole thing a kind of a greater sense of legitimacy and makes it a little bit more recognizable and more public and on the surface and has more exposure. So I just like the idea. I'd like to see something like that happen in America as a kind of like a mirror image of what's going on over in Scotland.
So would I. I mean, in Scotland, they do have the Royal National Mod, and then they have provincial mods or local mods, Morton, Innathol, and you'll see them like the Mull mod is a big one. They have a mod, I believe, in Inverness. And different parts, there are a number of them across the country. So it'd be great to see that here. And that is, you know, I should say, you know, full disclosure again, I am president of Uncommon Gaelic America. I'm also the head of the mod committee. So I run the U.S. National Mod, you know, and my goal, our strategy as an organization is to help promote and help people organize local events. So, you know, we don't have to be, it doesn't have to be an ACGA event or an ACGA mod, you know, but we are more than happy to help people get things off the ground. And I think that having an online U.S. National Mod is great because people from all over the country can participate without having to travel. But having local events and regional events where people can go there and be with other learners in a live communal atmosphere, it's a great thing, and it's been lacking. And this is one way of doing it.
I think we've made like a number of different points here, but two of you guys have, in terms of like the importance of the mod as a place where people can connect with each other, use their Gaelic skills, refine their Gaelic skills, participate in a fun way, you know, in the Gaelic community, and perhaps go to others and meet places and make a connection between them all, and also kind of the way those local mods might connect to the larger one and give you the possibility to jump over to Scotland or whatever as well. So I have a different kind of question here. Why in the history of doing this, why we continue today, why a competition? Why not just a show?
Great question. I mean, Scott, I mean, I think this goes back to Victorian times. Well, number one, I think competitions to an extent do draw people. They also tend to push people away to some extent. But it gives a structure that will bring people in, as opposed to a show, which, you know, people might say, well, I'm not qualified to do this. You know, I think that when the original event was founded in 1892, at that time, competitions, whether it was in song or in piping or in other aspects of the culture, dancing, were quite common. So I think there was a mold that was already there that the organizers of the first mods, you know, fit Gaelic song into. The Féis is something that is interesting because, as Scott mentioned, it's a lot of instruction. It's a lot of both in Gaelic song and music, but it's not a competition. And the Féis, in some ways, complement what the mod does by bringing people in and giving them a different way of participating. And ACGA has tried to blend those two. If we go to a live event at some point, that is something that I also would like to see. We did try to, we did have a ACGA Féis as part of the ACGA mod back in 2017 at Ligonier, the last full year we had at Ligonier. You know, but that requires, you know, instructors and, again, a lot of other organizational skills and logistics and resources. So, you know, I think that that was why the competitions initially were started. You know, I myself have never loved the idea of competing, especially since, you know, it shouldn't be about the competition, in my view. It should be about Gaelic. It should be about the joy of singing songs. And it's not just songs, I need to mention, because I think that's important. It's also poetry, storytelling. So it's really all the verbal arts, you know, language arts, you could call them, of Scottish Gaelic culture that get featured here. But, you know, the joy of learning, of meeting other people to share with, I mean, those things to me are much more important than being in a competition and who gets what prize.
And to some extent, the categories that got adopted by ACGA and that we're using here too, it's kind of a way of getting at that a little bit, you know, making it less of a competitive mindset, you know, a mindset where you are competing to win, as opposed to just participating and refining your skills and doing well. But you did mention at one point, Liam, one of the things that competitions can do is kind of put you off. Like, I'm not quite good enough for this. You know, maybe I'll keep studying. Maybe another year or two, I'll attend a mod, you know, or something like that. So I think that for them to be these connecting places, there's also a sense of the mod where people are participating regardless of their Gaelic level, encouraged to come to be part of that one day community meeting. So to speak. And I think, what would both of you say, I guess, to people out there who think, I'm a beginner, this is going to be too much for me, I'll wait on this, I'll go to a festival and go to the language village, I'll go to a Cayley, you know, or something like that.
Scott, I'll let you go first on that.
Okay. Backtrack a little bit onto the competition and the thing. Competition and the arts has been hand in hand for centuries in just about every culture. I mean, there are just as many classical music competitions and on every instrument as there are poetry competitions for entries into magazines. So that seems to be kind of part and parcel of the arts and humanities world. Personally, I'm a bit of an anathema towards competitions as well, because I don't like being compared to other people, because I have issues about how good or bad I am with things. But the competition is definitely a double-edged sword, right? The advantages of competition is it sort of puts people into a bit of a cooker so that the best version of stuff comes out on the other end. That's ultimately the high aspirations of any competition, right? Is to find out what the best version of this individual activity looks like. The bad end is it also tends to limit participation to those who are quote unquote the best at what they do. So trying to find balance between that and community, you know, open community participation is a challenge. I think we're going to meet that with the idea of individual scores versus individual comparisons with our format, with the levels of achievement that the individual participants can meet. So everybody who's participating is going to get feedback, and they'll get like a ranking, but it'll be based on just how well they did, not how well they did versus somebody else, which is inevitably what happens in a competition. Right. So competition can promote advancement, but it also tends to squelch community. So we're trying to hit both with that.
I was asking, what do you say to people who think that, you know, they're in competition and maybe they think, you know, I'm a beginner, I'm not really ready for this, a year or two, maybe so. But right. We really want the people to come out so these mods are institutions where communities meet and you can refine your skills.
So that's the advantage of our format, is that it doesn't matter whether you're a beginner, an intermediate, advanced, or a fluent level speaker. You're going to get adjudicated based on the level that you are currently at. And that will be a reflection of how well you're doing at that particular level based on what kind of objectives, or not objectives, based on what kind of criteria that we're expecting at that kind of level. So you're comparing yourself not to other speakers, but to a rubric of advancement, so to speak, that is imposed on all students. So that, you know, we're doing that on purpose in order to try and eliminate sort of the stage fright element of it. You can't eliminate it all. I mean, it's still public speaking and public presentation, right? And that's something a lot of people have trouble with, myself included. I suffer from stage fright every single time I get up on a stage, either to play music or to speak. There's that element to deal with. But the participation portion is really important. And in this regard, it's not very different from a Kaylee, except at a Kaylee, you're not going to get a score. You know, you might get some informal form of feedback, but the idea is that everybody is supposed to be participating. It's formal and informal at the exact same time. And that's really kind of nice.
No, I think that's, you nailed it there, Scott. I mean, I think the idea that we, you know, whether it's ACGA or Skull Gaelic, Valentine Vod, or the Gaelic Potomac, I mean, we want to encourage people. We want them to come and, you know, and learn, but also participate, enjoy, not to feel that they're being, you know, judged, you know, perhaps punitively. And that, you know, that can be an issue when you're handing out first, second, and third place ribbons and a trophy. So just to be clear on what we do with adjudication, you know, each singer or performer, you know, for their piece, the judges will look at various criteria, and, you know, they'll give them either a grade of rimowog, which means to be commended, erlema, which means, you know, exceptionally good, or sonrichje, which is outstanding. And as I said, you know, when you take that approach, I mean, you could have the entire group could be rimowog, you know, or, you know, they could be sonrichje, they could be all be outstanding. It doesn't matter anymore who is, you know, first, second, or third, unless you're saying we're going to give one performer a medal. But, you know, so what that does is it means you're competing against yourself to do the best you can. And you're getting actual feedback from someone that says, here's what you need to look at. Here's how you could improve, you know, And it's constructive criticism, you know, that says, you know, here's what you're doing right. You know, here's what we thought was really good. So that is a different kind of environment, hopefully, than, you know, the higher stakes competitive environment that, you know, still exists at the Royal National Mall in Scotland. It probably can't ever be changed there entirely. I mean, but, you know, I think that for what we do, this is a great way of encouraging more people to get involved. I would say also in Scotland, people are aware of the Maud and it's part of the national tradition and culture. So, you know, it's not like in North America where we have lots of Gaelic learning communities, but not Gaelic speaking communities necessarily. So this gives people a chance, you know, to come and to learn, to at the very least, they can come and listen and hopefully enjoy, you know, communicate with other people.
And at the Maud here in Maryland, they could take classes. They could take song classes, language classes, or a special class to help them get ready for a Maud. So there's a lot of ways to participate.
Yeah, that's a really important thing. I mean, in Scotland, they have what they call the fringe, the Maud fringe, which is, you know, where they'll have workshops and lectures and stuff outside of the Maud program itself. The Maud program there is very full. They have like dozens of different competitions every day, you know. But for, you know, our event in Laurel, Maryland on August 12, or for the ACGA event or the Grandfather Mountain event, it's easy to have a language class or a discussion about some aspect of culture tacked on to the Maud itself to give it more value to participants.
I want to piggyback on that a little bit because that reminds me of some of the experiences I had at the ACGA National Maud in the 2000s and the early 2010s. Almost every single guest that came over to the Maud to participate with us, who were gold medal National Maud winners over in Scotland, commented about how they just wish to the high heavens that their Maud experience was the same as ours, and that they we would ask them all the time when they came over, like, what's it like to be in the Maud at Scotland? They're like, well, it's really not that much fun, because they view it as it's viewed as more of a springboard towards launching a career. So it's like an audition, right? They're auditioning to become a national, kind of like nationally known recording figure. And when they come here, all of them say it's like a breath of fresh air. And this is what the Maud is supposed to be. It's supposed to be about community and gathering together. And it doesn't matter whether you're good or bad, you get lauded regardless. And the participation is paramount, and the competition is secondary. And I can't remember a single competitor coming over from the multiple years I went that didn't comment on that, or, you know, didn't make mention of that when they were here.
And you remember that the Maud in Scotland, it's a big national event. Like I said, I mean, 10,000 people is not an unusual number, certainly in pre-COVID times. I'm sure it might be a little bit different now, but it's probably back up toward that. And it's a week-long event, and it's televised, all the major competitions. So if you're a gold medalist, if you're in the gold medal competition, you know, you're going to be up there in front of thousands of people on television singing the song you've been working on. It's high stakes. Like you said, it could be a career. But even if you're not planning a career as a Gaelic singer, it's a high stakes kind of competition in a way that we don't have here. So I think they felt that, wow, this is a lot more like a regional Maud where people go and have fun. Not that they don't have fun at the Royal National Maud, they certainly do. But yeah, the structure and the stakes are very different in some ways. You know, again, I having been to one of the Royal National Mauds, I would say it's also it's a fascinating kind of place to go, because it's almost like an entire small city of Gaelic speakers is assembled, and you get to meet all these people, including many people who are well-known recording artists and singers. that you wouldn't meet otherwise. And that's a fantastic opportunity too.
One thing I'll throw into the mix too about what I think that some people who might hear the podcast or even be thinking about a mod might come across, even if you don't have any Gaelic skills, I think a mod could be a place where you might want to start attaining some of those. Like myself, for instance, I've never been to any of these mods that you guys are talking about, but I actually did attend one. I was at the Grandfather Mountain Festival years ago, a few years before I started actually learning Gaelic. And I didn't go because of the mod. I just went because it was the Grandfather Mountain event. And my family's from North Carolina and things like that. But I found a mod there. And I thought, Gaelic singing, I would like to see that because I did like Gaelic singing when I've heard it in the past and recordings and stuff like that. So I want to go to that. So I went and I sat down there. I met Ian Grimaldi there. And that was really what gave me the bug to start learning. You know, just the beautiful sound of it, people talking about it, just... It was just something that moved me at that point. Now, it took a few years before I met Scott and started learning and everything like that. But I had no Gaelic skills at all, you know, when I went to the mod. But it was very enjoyable. And people were very easy in talking to me, you know, about it. And it really kind of, you know, set me off down a path more than anything else, I think. So I think we've done had a really interesting conversation here today. I appreciate you guys, you know, doing this, and I'm hoping that everybody who will be listening out there, you know, enjoys it. And wherever you are, go to a mod near you. If you're close to Maryland,
if you don't know of one, let us know, and perhaps we can help you organize something.
Ah, very good point. Excellent point. And at the end of this, I'll give some contact information. But before we sign off, is there anything we haven't touched on here that you, either of you guys, would like to speak to?
I would just say that I find it really interesting that I've seen interest in mods come up this year more than in many, many years previous. I think that's a sign that interest in Gaelic and Scottish Gaelic is healthy and hopefully is growing. We know that public interests in the United States, North America, it can wane and wax at different times. You know, I think that this is a good moment. I think that there's potential for a lot more growth, and hopefully we'll see more events crop up at various places across the country. And as Scott had envisioned, you know, feed into the national mod, feed into each other in a healthy way.
So the only thing that's really coming immediately to my mind is where do children fit into all of this? And although we don't have any competitions that are specifically geared towards children for this year, we'll be thinking about that for next year. But if you would like to come and bring your family to the mod, you know, the more participants, the merrier. Just be aware that you're going to have to be responsible for your own children. There's a couple of places right at the building site where there's some big green grassy areas that they can run around in. But keep in mind, if you bring them into workshops or if they sit and are watching the competitions, that we want to respect those spaces. So that learning and the events can continue. But I brought all of my kids, all four of my kids, to the mod up in Ligonier every single year that I went. And to this day, they carry memories about those trips now that they're all adults and older teenagers. And it really does impact the younger generation that way. And to have kids seeing their adults and the friends of their adults interacting with the language in both this formal and in an informal kind of manner, I believe is extremely important towards the advancement of the Gaelic language and it everywhere, but most especially with us in the States.
Scott, I think you make a really important point there that we hadn't hit before. The whole idea of, you know, there are more and more places in the recent years where you can begin to learn Gaelic, whether it's online, whether you're using Duolingo, whether you're using some other system, whether you're having a school like ours. There's more and more places where you can learn, and there's more and more resources for learning, you know, that are online. But the nut that we have to crack really is, what do you do with it? you know, once you're learning, where do you get together with people? Where do you interact with people using your Gaelic, refining your Gaelic, gaining your confidence in your conversation and seeing it go on to another generation? So I think we're all hoping that these mods become part of those, part of that answer, part of those events that become a regular place in the Gaelic learning community's year, and that you can bring kids to so that, yeah, they go on and want to learn too, and they see it as a, not only a normal thing, but an exciting thing. It's a great point. A good point to end with. So thank you, Liam. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you enjoyed the program, and we hope that you'll be able to attend a MOD near you. And if you are in range of Laurel, Maryland, we hope to see you at the Chesapeake MOD on August the 12th. If you're interested in attending, just drop us a note at skullgaelic@gmail.com. Tapali versin chi. Yannickly.
Morning, thank you.